This is VOA News coming to you by remote. I'm Gene Randall. South Korea today is reporting more than 300 new coronavirus infections. It is the 16th consecutive day of triple-digit rises, heightening concerns about a shortage of sick beds amid a resurgence of COVID-19. Korean health officials have posted 308 new cases, bringing the total to 19,400, with 321 COVID-19 deaths. After having contained the first large outbreak outside China earlier this year, South Korea is suffering a setback this month after a cluster of church cases spread to a political rally in Seoul, attended by tens of thousands from across the country. Hospitals in the Seoul area report only 4.5% of their beds available for critical cases. For a week starting tomorrow, on-site dining at restaurants, pubs, and bakeries in and around Seoul will be banned after 9 p.m., while coffee shops are restricted to takeout and delivery. Churches, nightclubs, gyms, and most schools in the area remain closed, and face masks are mandatory in public places. The global virus numbers close to 24.8 million infections, with almost 838,000 fatalities. The figures come from Johns Hopkins University. Hit the worst is the United States, where the death toll approaches 182,000. Brazil has lost 119,500 lives, followed by Mexico, 63,000. India has suffered 3.5 million COVID cases with 62,000 fatalities. There is good news to report from Australia. The state of Victoria today says it has seen its lowest rise in new COVID infections in almost 2 months. But authorities warn there will be no rush to lift social distancing restrictions. Victoria's capital of Melbourne is 4 weeks into a six-week hard lockdown that was spurred by a second wave of cases in Australia's second largest city. State officials report 94 new infections and 18 deaths, which continues this week's steady downward pattern. Australia's recorded around 25,500 pandemic cases and 600 deaths. This is VOA News. Wuhan, ground zero for COVID-19 and the Chinese city hit hardest by the virus, is set to reopen its schools early next week. The city says it has drawn up emergency plans to switch back to online teaching if risk levels change. It is advising that children wear masks to and from school and avoid public transportation if possible. The United Arab Emirates today ended its boycott of Israel, part of the Gulf States' deal to normalize relations with the Jewish state. The U.S. brokered agreement was announced just over 2 weeks ago. The UAE's state-run news agency says under the new decree, Israelis and Israeli firms will be allowed to do business in the Arab country while opening up for the purchase and trade in Israeli goods. On Monday, the first flight by Israel's flagship air carrier, El Al, is scheduled for its first ever trip to Abu Dhabi. The UAE boycott of Israel had been in effect for nearly a half century. The Chinese embassy in London today charges that British politicians are twisting facts in order to undermine bilateral ties with Beijing. An embassy spokesman referred to a London Times report that Beijing had raised its diplomatic presence in Britain by nearly a quarter in the past 10 years in a bid to boost its political influence. Said the embassy on its official website, Chinese diplomats in Britain are serving as a bridge between the two countries and promote mutually beneficial cooperation, and they deserve a fair assessment rather than distortion and accusation. U.S. President Donald Trump travels to the battered states of Louisiana and Texas today to inspect the destruction left by Hurricane Laura this week. The Category 4 storm destroyed homes and businesses, tore down power lines, and made many areas uninhabitable. People in the worst-hit places are being told they'll probably be without electricity and water service for weeks. There have been more than a dozen storm-related deaths, half of them traced to carbon monoxide poisoning from the unsafe operation of generators. Mali's West African neighbors are telling the military junta, which seized control of the country this month, it must transfer power to a civilian-led transitional government without delay, and that new elections should be held within a year. In exchange, the Economic Community of West African States says it will move toward lifting sanctions imposed after the coup. On Friday, the 15-member group reinforced its hard line because of concerns about prolonged instability in Mali and its potential to undermine the fight against Islamist militants there and in the wider region. Niger's President Mahamadou Issoufou said Mali's transitional president and prime minister must be civilians who should be prohibited from running in the next elections. The head of Libya's internationally recognized government has suspended his powerful interior minister, saying his handling of street protesters and a violent crackdown against them would be investigated. More news online at voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Gene Randall, and this is VOA News.